Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. They got great pack film, a lot of cool stuff going on with Fuji. Check them out, www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Richard Photo Lab, the place to send your neg, your chrome, your black and white. They do everything. Great work. Check them out, www.richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at Upstraps, your camera will not slide off your shoulder. A great product. Check them out, www.upstrap-pro.com. And, of course, our media partners, APUG, the Analog Photography's user group, the place on the net for everything about analog photography, over at www.apug.org. We have a great show lined up for you today. We have with us Casey Baker. She is the Director of Trade Marketing for Professional Markets with Fujifilm USA. And we're going to talk about Fuji's pack film, instant film, Polaroid replacement, cool stuff with Fuji going on, beautiful black and white, color, 4x5, 3.25x4.25. Hey, Casey, how you doing today?
All right, Scott, how you doing?
Great. So, Casey, let's talk about Fujifilm Instant. You guys have a very cool line of instant pack film that's available that I don't think a lot of people know about. We definitely want to get the word about it. It's a great product. It's available in a couple different sizes. Let's sort of just go over the brief overview of what's actually available from Fuji in regards to an instant style of pack instant film.
Sure, Scott. It's funny because we've had this product. We've made it since 1991. It's been out for a long time, just that it was never really imported into the country officially. What had happened was companies like Calumet Photographic had started importing it into the country as a gray market product for a few years. Since they're a conglomerate based out of England, they would bring in the product. A lot of people would ask. It's mostly professional film, so professionals who shop at Calumet would ask about it. Quite frankly, we never carried it in the U.S. officially. So about 2003 time, Fujifilm Tokyo decided that it was time to start importing it into the country. They decided on a few products that they were going to import, two color versions and two black and white versions. It's kind of a hard thing. You bring it into a country who has Polaroid as the dominant. Let's face it, Polaroid is synonymous with instant photography. It just is. Kind of a tough road trying to compete against Polaroid, considering everybody knew about it. Really just never equated Fuji film with Fuji instant film. At this point in time, we do have pack films. The unfortunate thing is we have no intention to making the pause neg films like the Type 55. Artists especially are just beside themselves, and I am going to be one of those because I do like that film, and it does make my platinum printing a lot easier than actually shooting black and white film, but it is what it is. Anyway, we do have color FP100C, which replaces 669, 667, and then we have our FP100B, which is our black and white version of the same film.
So that's an ISO 100 black and white.
Correct.
And then, of course, the color is an ISO 100.
Yes.
And then, of course, you have 3000. That is just lovely.
That's an interesting story, the 3000. We also have a 4x5 version. Now, the 4x5 version is pack film version. Now, those of you who know, Polaroid made a pack film. It was a Polaroid holder that was 550 pack holder. And you can find those on eBay now for $179, $250. They're all over the place. They take packs, and so it's kind of like the medium format stuff, but it's bigger. So it's not like an individual sheet. It's just the same as you would with 669, only it's 4x5. So we have that in color, and with the 3000B, we had that in 4x5 as an import. So we had the 100 color, FP100C, we had the 100 black and white, the FP100B, and we had the 3000 super high speed in black and white 4x5 and in 2.25. Well, because the market was so competitive, because people just didn't know we had this film, it just didn't sell. So Japan just said, okay, well, then we don't want to import it anymore. It was done. It's over. So 3000B 4x5 was no longer being imported into the country. And, of course, just like a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you don't import it and you don't stock it, well, you basically don't sell it. And as we didn't sell it more and more, or didn't sell it less and less, as the case may be, it went away. So that particular product has been discontinued.
Wow, so for 4x5 pack, my only option is the 100 series.
The FP100C, yeah. But at the moment, I'm lobbying. We have two other pack films, 4x5 black and white, in Japan, and that's the FP100B. We also have an FP500B, a 500 speed one. So at the moment, I'm lobbying to get the 100B into the country because I've gotten a lot of requests for 4x5 black and white.
And there's a lot of people still shooting 4x5, of course.
Yes.
It's great to be able to preview stuff in an instant-style film that before you want to go put in a piece of quick load.
There's a million reasons why people want to shoot black and white FP100, why they would want to shoot a 4x5 black and white. In 4x5 photography, you want to be able to test out sharpness in corners. You want to test out lighting. Color always kind of skews things. With black and white, you actually are able to focus on shadow and highlight detail. So if you're able to focus on something like that, just with an instant film that covers the full range of your view camera, you're in much better shape when you put your 4x5 holder in there with film.
Definitely so. Casey, let's talk about holders for pack film for different styles. Does Fuji offer anything of that? Is there something I want to find third party? What's the best way if I don't have a current or I want a new pack film back? What do I do?
Fuji does have options. We do have a pack film holder for the 4x5 that we sell. And you could actually still get the Polaroid pack holder. That'll still work with our medium format films. But you could also get our own pack film holder.
Right. So if I want to shoot 4x5, I need to have a pack film holder because, like you said, it's not sheet film. So it won't go into a quick holder or some other type of sheet film unit. So, Casey, who is using pack film still? I know you can use it great in studio, especially the black and white, for checking fall off, lightness, shadow, contrast, detail. But really, you know, what's the main application still that you see as being Fujifilm USA that are still using pack film?
The main people who are still using pack film are passport agencies. They've been using 669 for so long. They made an investment in the process, and it's very inexpensive. It's inexpensive in the sense that all they got to do is purchase a pack of film for X amount of dollars, and then they make $12 on each passport photo that they shoot. It's a win-win situation. Plus, there's all these cameras. There's hundreds of thousands of cameras out in the world that are designed to be passport cameras by Polaroid. So the different manufacturers that made passport cameras to take Type 669. It's a worldwide thing. There's countries like Africa. There's countries like China, Asia. Everybody who doesn't have a digital passport system has to have these camera models to be able to get passports, to be able to get IDs, to be able to get voter registration, all kinds of different policies. And especially here in the U.S., when you have to send in two photos, I don't know about you, but when I got my passport back, my photo was digitized, which is very different than it was in my original passport, which just changed over about 3 years ago. The original one I had, I turned in a nice little black and white photo, but I was still required to have two. And I figured the one was to put in the passport itself, and the other was to have on file. Well, nowadays, you're required to have two images. And the bottom line is they want to make sure that nothing's digitally enhanced, nothing's digitally changed. And a lot of people would rather have instant shot than some of the digital ones, because the digital ones, they can be slightly enhanced if they don't have just an immediate from camera to print technology, if there's like some place you can enhance or change or alter or whatever. Anyway, they require two photos, two identical photographs. The easiest, quickest way is just to use one of those passport cameras. Biggest customer base for this film type. The second biggest customer base is fine artists, people that are still shooting it for a multitude of reasons. Everything from just original looking, it is an original. It's not something that can be copied. It's not something that can be made duplicates of. Everything is an instant shoot. In New York City, myself and one of my colleagues, we do these parties. We do these event parties, and we do a lot of background shoot, make a nice little set, Hawaiian theme or some other crazy theme, you know. And people come up, and just the thrill of the fact that they can get it right then and there, the more immediacy thing than digital even. And it's not just that. It's one of a kind. So they know that it's not going to end up somewhere on some website. There it is. This is an original. And we still get emails. We still get phone calls all the time from people who were at one of our parties 5, 6 years ago. And they're like, hey, you know, I still have that picture on our refrigerator. It's fun stuff.
Really fun. You know, what's so cool about it, too, is like you said, it's true photography. It's instant photography, and it's a one-off. Just makes you work a little harder than digital. It's just so cool to be able to pull it apart and actually just out shooting and give somebody a photo, and it's just people are still so amazed with instant film, and it's just so cool. I don't see why more people don't actually do this, because the other day, actually, on eBay, I got an older pack film Polaroid Color Pack 2 Plus. It was $1.
Oh, nice.
It cost me $8 in freight, but you know something? For $10... you can have a sort of a cool camera. I mean, it's not going to be the best thing. It's not as good as like a professional thing with some Mamiya glass or something really cool, but you can still take it around with you. You can beat it around. You can throw it in the car, and it really doesn't matter because it costs a buck. But it's so cool to hand someone an instant photo and go check it out. And they're still amazed at it. It's just so much cooler than digital.
I have one on my wall right now. I got one that's framed. I got these little bits and pieces from parties that I've been to that are just, they're one of a kind. They're never going to be repeated. They're not out there somewhere in the ether. They just exist as unique photos. It's cool. It's a cool thing. On top of that, if you wanted to make replicas, something of whatever it is you're doing on that type of film, I mean, you could always use a day lab. They're basically like little enlargers. These little self-contained enlarger systems that are designed to expose instant film, designed to expose 669, designed to expose even 4x5. 4x5 holder will fit into the day lab printer. You can expose on there, make a little enlargement of some sort. You could do some adjustments. And then from there, you can go right into transfers.
That is cool. And Daylab does make some great stuff. And also, if you look on eBay, you can get some of these. Vivitar makes a slide copier. So if you have some chrome that you want to put onto an instant pack film, and even there's some Polaroid stuff hanging out there that eats the Fuji stuff great. There's lots of options to be able to do this kind of instant photography. Casey, now let's sort of roll into emulsion transfer. A lot of people used to use Polaroid 669 and other versions of Polaroid to actually lift off the emulsion that was on the plastic backing and sort of float this on to other pieces of material, and you can do some really neat stuff with it. Of course, you can do all this with the Fuji. Let's talk about emulsion transfers using Fuji Instant.
There's two things that can be done with the Fuji Instant film. There are some differences between the Polaroid and the Fuji. You can do both. You can do the emulsion lifts, which is basically putting it in hot water, letting it sit there for 5 minutes, and it lifts off into the water, and you take your tongs and you move it over to cold water, and then the emulsion just slips right off. So there you have this emulsion floating in the water, and you can put it pretty much anywhere. Now, with emulsion lifts, the major difference, in my opinion, between the Polaroid and the Fuji, because I was doing emulsion lifts for years, it was just so delicate. The emulsion itself was so incredibly delicate. That's why when they sell you the little Polaroid creative kit, they send this little piece of Mylar that when you put it in the cold water, you put the little piece of Mylar in there so you can lift out the emulsion just the way that you want it so it doesn't rip, basically. Because there's no way you could take it out of there without it just falling apart sometimes. You just really couldn't be authoritative with where it is you're going to put this thing. You had to be very delicate with it. The difference with the Fuji is that the emulsion itself is so incredibly thick. It's a very rigid emulsion. What I've been doing is I've been cutting, before I even put it into the water, I've been cutting out the shapes or cutting off the borders or doing what it is I want. I've just been trimming off the white borders, or I've been cutting off sections, and then when I put it in the water, emulsion comes right off, and I just take it with my fingers, like right out of the cold water, and I just put it wherever I'm going, and I just start messing with it. It's like nothing I've ever worked with before. It really is very malleable. It's very durable. So it's very, very cool. There's a couple other little things that are different for the emulsion lifts, and actually, if you go to our website, FujifilmUSA.com, and you go to the cable release newsletter, the cable release newsletter for May 2008 has directions on how to do emulsion lifts and do emulsion transfers. Now, emulsion transfers are different in several ways. One is because Fujifilm is so much brighter in contrast and colors, it's just much richer film than the 669 is. You're going to get this brighter color from it. The other thing is that it has to be done in subdued light. It can't be done just in bright light because it doesn't work. Because it is so much brighter and it gives you such a richer color, you can't do it in daylight. You have to do it in subdued light. And it's also a dry process. It's not a wet process at all. 669, you had to do it with a semi-moist, a kind of a damp piece of art paper, whereas with the Fuji, you just do it dry, straight from the backing right onto the piece of Arches cold-pressed, and you're good to go.
So what would be the actual process if you want to actually do an actual image transfer?
It's simple. So you use a daylab. You'd expose it. As soon as you yank the image out, you have to simply wait maybe 10 seconds, peel it off, take the backing, which is the black part of the shot. The paper should be smooth. The more rigidy type of a grainy fine art paper doesn't work as well, and your paper has to be sized. Size just means the porous part has been regulated, so to speak. Anyway, so the paper has to be sized, has to be smooth, and then you just put it on and you take your brayer and you just brayer away and you let it sit there for 2 minutes. You can let it sit there for longer, but my recommended time is 2 minutes. Just wait, and then after 2 minutes, you just peel it slowly off, and your emulsion should be transferred.
So basically, I'm taking the actual negative part, the backside of the actual Fuji Instant film, and transferring what it would put down onto your emulsion side and using the negative with its dyes and whatever's going on.
Absolutely.
And pushing this down with a heavy roller onto a very smooth-coated fine art paper.
Yep.
Wow, another cool reason to shoot instant.
That's pretty much what it is. You end up with not only one-of-a-kind in your image, but also one-of-a-kind fine art.
Now, I would shoot this and peel it apart instantly, or should I wait the normal minute and a half development time?
No. You have to do it immediately.
So it's shoot and peel as quick as I can, bang.
Yes.
I think another thing we should touch up on, too, a lot of people don't know about the Fuji Instant Film is that it's self-terminating. So you do have to wait in a certain amount of time, but you can let it go longer. Let's talk about that real quick.
As far as tests as to how long it could actually go, I haven't actually done extensive tests. But I do know that I have let it just sit there for about 4 hours. And I've come back and the image has been just fine. So yes, it is, by my account, self-terminating.
Casey, once you do pull the image apart, and I have the actual finished photograph there, of course, unless you're going to do a image transfer, you pitch the back. It goes away in the trash. It is a water-based chemical, so that's sort of cool. You can just wash your hands and get it clean. What about the image itself? Should I let it sit for a certain amount of time to dry? I know I shouldn't stack them on top of each other. What's the best way to treat an instant photograph once it's been peeled apart, the Fuji style, and let this stuff sit and hang out? What do I do?
That would be the same as you would do with 669. You just got to let it sit there for anywhere between 5 minutes to 10 minutes. Basically, you'll be able to tell because the surface is sticky.
So basically, it's just let it dry and that's it. We're all good to go.
Yeah. In fact, if you wanted to at some point, say a week from now, maybe a year from now, you decided you wanted to make an emulsion lift, you could.
No worries, because there's really no timeout, because once you put this back in the water, it sort of loosens everything up. And then
once you put it in the hot water, it'll come right off.
Exactly. What is the longevity of a Fuji instant print? If I store the stuff in the correct environment, is this going to last a year, 5 years, or is there any kind of study?
Let's see. The image that I told you I had on my wall, I just pulled off, and this image was shot 2001. So this thing has been sitting up here in the light, framed, for the last 7 years.
And it looks great.
It looks great. It looks just the way it did when I shot it.
So in theory, with the Fuji instant film and the way the emulsion is, if it's put into an album or stored in a dark environment, it would be like any traditional print, and it should last many, many, many decades.
Don't know if we've done any actual longevity tests on it. At this point in time, this one is going to be running on a decade in 3 years, so if you want to call me back in 3 years and do this interview, I can let you know. I don't want to say one way or the other because I'm very familiar with the longevity test. I know that this will definitely be going for 10 years, so you got one decade out of it.
Right, so I guess the point I'm getting at is you can actually do fine art, you can do original photography, you can frame the stuff, you can have mats made to have multiple pack film images in one print, and you can actually do gallery work and a lot of cool stuff where you actually have instant photography, and I think people are really attracted to the whole thing with it being instant and the size of it, and it's just really cool photography.
Yeah, you could say that Andy Warhol did all his stuff way back when, so did David Hockney. It's slightly different, but kind of the same as instant photography. I mean, they did a lot of the stuff with the Vectra type of film. Again, they have huge pieces of artwork that are being sold for millions of dollars in museums. So, for all intents and purposes, they're still good.
Yeah, and talking about the Warhol, though, you can get a old big shot camera on eBay for $30, $40. They still make flash cubes. You can put FP100C in it and make some really cool photos.
Yeah, and not just that, but we're also coming out with, we have come out with it in Japan, and we do distribute it throughout the rest of the world, but we are starting to investigate the possibility of bringing in Instax film and Instax cameras into the country. It's possible that those will be available from your local retailer by January 1st, 2009.
Those are great. If that actually happens, it's going to be a cool deal, because now you have to find the stuff gray market. You guys have a small one, and there's a couple different sizes of those cameras, but they have a small one that uses credit card size film. It's just too cool.
It's cool enough. It feeds into a lot of different things. And one of the things it feeds into is obviously instant photography, party type of thing, which is great. But also on the business side of things, you'd be amazed. You'd really be amazed at how prevalent instant photography is and necessary in this format and in this type of film. A lot of people that I talk to, they're just so surprised that film is still around. They're surprised that people use certain things. And it's people who are not really in the know of photography. What photography is used for. They read the rags, they look at the internet, they hear the hype. To me, it's not just about the hype, it's about whatever other things are happening. Why do you use photography? What do you use it for? What is the purpose? And oddly enough, prisons, CSI type people, even coroners, morticians, there's a subculture of photographers, or actual people who, not photographers per se, but people who use photography. Because they have to capture the moment without it being manipulated. So if your court case, for instance, is this guy got killed by a hit-and-run driver, and these are all the photos of how the body was mangled or how this happened, a judge or the defense lawyer could say something like, well, obviously that was manipulated. Or if you're going into a spousal abuse case, oh, well, those bruises don't actually exist because those are obviously manipulated in Photoshop, or they're obviously added on or whatever it may be. But if you have, if a doctor in a trauma center has Instax camera, they're shooting what is there. Those are used in court cases, and they are not manipulated. They are originals. So therefore, it cannot be said, well, it's been manipulated, it's been adjusted, or what have you. Same thing applies to insurance companies like car accidents. I've always recommended for years to have an instant camera in the car in case you do get hit, because then you can actually photograph it right then and there, and there will never be this question like whether or not it's real or not real.
Like you said, it's very economical to have a pack film style of camera, and I'm sure if we see the Fuji line of these instant cameras brought into the U.S. here coming around the first of the year, they're very economically priced too, no more than if you would have paid for the competitor's brand XYZ a 600 series.
Yep.
And as what's cool about the bigger Fuji film is actually it's a wider format than the 600 series, so it's actually nicer stuff by far.
Yeah, the color's nicer, it's wider, the wide stuff is pretty cool. In fact, some of the cool shots that I've seen online have been like at the Lomo website, mography.com or yep. thelomographer.com. So Lomo cameras, they happen to sell them in the gray market at this point in time, but pretty soon we're going to be bringing them in, be available non-gray market.
What's really amazing though, even though it's gray market, I find a lot of places actually have the Instax film in stock, even though they don't sell the cameras. They'll
yep.
have the wide in stock. Here's a stack of 10 boxes of it.
Yep.
Of course,
yep.
it's at a premium, but if you have one of these units, it's pretty cool to be able to walk into some place like Gassers in San Francisco or somewhere else and go, wow, look at that.
Yep. So instant photography, even though Polaroid has been dealt photography market, the artist heavy blow, Fujifilm is here to say that we're here to help out. From the mortician, to the artist, to the 4x5 photographer, to anybody. Anybody who has some kind of dire need for film, for their purpose, for their particular purpose, and requires instant film, we have solutions for them.
Instant film's great, and like I said, I think I have more fun now shooting pack film than I do shooting 4x5, black and white, chrome, 35.
Isn't it fun?
It's fun.
Isn't it just fun to just shoot? What kills me is, like, I personally, after traveling to all these shows, and I've seen you at tons of shows, Scott, after traveling to all these things, I've just gotten bored. Same things and all the same. And I wondered, why don't I ever carry my camera with me anymore? And I realized because I just got bored with things. Recently, I just decided I'm going to shoot a different camera for a couple months. Different film camera, medium format camera. Maybe I'll take Olga out. Maybe I'll take one of these Instax cameras out. Maybe I'll take out something different. Because megapixel this and megapixel that, after a while, it's just like, it's all the same.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally myself just disoriented with the whole digital thing because really the quality, even though, yes, if you want to go spend 8, 10, 20, 30K, you can get some pretty nice photos, but I have a nice little rangefinder or my Canon 1V or whatever, and I can put some Fuji Chrome in it, and guess what? I have
yep.
the same quality of image that's mighty near close to that $20,000 camera.
If you have yourself a rangefinder, I'm good to go. You know, Leica, or they're just great cameras, especially in this type of economy. I was just thinking about it recently. Photokina is going on right now. A couple companies have released some new cameras. You just have to think to yourself, like, who's got expendable income? Who's got all this income to, like, be spending 20 grand, 10 grand, 15 grand on new cameras? I mean, God bless if you do. If you've got plenty of money to be spending on that, I mean, that's great. And I understand the professionals and that the business is there where they can actually write it off or they could do whatever they need to do with it. As a photographer, I just expect photographers to be a little bit more artistic, be more about the art than they are about the business. Not saying that they shouldn't be about the business as well, but change it up. Express yourself. Do different things. Get re-energized. Get creative. Do something different. And photography is a very quick way of doing that. Very quick, very inexpensive way of just breaking out of whatever shell you're in, whether you shoot traditional film 4x5 or traditional film 35, 120, or whether you shoot digital, or whatever it is that you do, instant, because you get the instant gratification that people are so used to with digital, and at the same time, you can just be playing all day long.
Really, like you said, there's a lot of money to keep up on this digital race. If it's a business, and you're doing certain things, and you need to turn around a large volume of stuff, well, okay, great. There's also arguments of that, but like you said, the whole instant gig is just so much fun. I mean, I have a Polaroid 600 SE with Mamiya glass on it.
Mm-hmm.
I have an up-strap on. I'm carrying around like a point-and-shoot. People freak out.
It's good stuff.
It's great. You can't go wrong. It draws a little bit of attention to yourself when you're doing stuff, but otherwise, you make this great photography, and it's so cool that the pack film itself does time out automatically, and you can shoot stuff and just stick it back in your bag, and you can peel it apart later. That's almost part of the fun of it. It's like, you know, when you shoot in Velvia, that you get your chrome back, your slides, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's cool. There's something that's missing with the whole digital gig, and I think the epitome of just cool photography is this instant deal, and I think that there's more people getting involved in it. And if you really look at the prices of these older cameras on eBay, the prices are going up and up and up.
It's pretty interesting. I have a friend of mine, she just started teaching college courses in photography. She teaches intro photography, and it's black and white. She has four classes. Each class has got 20 students. This is college. This is intro black and white photography. There's more students in those classes than there are in the digital 101 class. And actually, the odd thing is that it's totally understandable as to why. You have kids now who grow up, they live behind a computer. They live in a computer screen. And they just happen to crave that hands-on, touchy-feely type of thing that goes on with black and white photography in the lab, the processing, the whole thing. It's understandable that the pendulum swings back and forth, back and forth. And now it's swung back to people wanting something that's tangible, which is interesting because most of the photographers that I know, Fujifilm promotes right now, the younger crowd, they're all shooting film.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I just shot a wedding not too long ago in Orlando at Disney on film.
Cool.
Like I said, the digital stuff great, and Fuji has great digital cameras. There's still a place for traditional photographic processes.
The place for everything.
And instant's definitely a great part of it. And, of course, it's great to see that Fuji's importing this stuff from Japan. It looks like there's going to be more stuff, and hopefully you can convince our friends in Tokyo to bring some more of the 4x5 stuff back, because, you can buy it there.
Buy a ton of stuff there.
All you need to do is put it in a box, and they just need to send it over with some other stuff, right? It's not that big a deal.
Yep.
Where do we find out more information, Casey, on Instant Film? Of course, the great newsletter that had detailed instructions on transfers and lifts. Where's all the stuff located?
It would be located at FujifilmUSA.com. And you simply go into product, you go into professional, you can look up cable release newsletter. It'll be in the May 2008 cable release.
That's a great article, and it talks about doing it, and there's some examples there, and it's fun stuff to play with. And I think that's the big thing is it's fun because it's tactile. It's something you can do with your family, with your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your kids. You can do it yourself. It's an actual craft. It's a tactile experience that you just don't get with pixels and radiation shooting out of a screen into your eyes. It's just...
Absolutely. It's just fun.
It is. And you know, it's all about having fun.
Yes, it is.
Casey, I appreciate you joining us today, and we look forward to hearing more from, of course, Fujifilm and all the great stuff that you're doing with Fuji and all this cool stuff going on. I really appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you here very soon at Photo Plus in New York City.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Casey.
Pleasure talking to you.
Well, there you go. Casey Baker. Very cool stuff going on with Fujifilm, and I can't wait for that Instax film to hit the States here. Really cool stuff going on. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo. And, of course, the Inside Analog Photo Show has been brought to you by Fujifilm, Richard Photo Lab, UpsRep, and, of course, our media partners, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, over at www.apug.org. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.